Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new Kids Nastics range for young gymnasts at michaelmurphysports.ie.
This week on The Score, we will be discussing the possibility of private ownership at Finn Harps with Commercial Officer Aidan Campbell. Declan Boyle will join us for a weekly League of Ireland chat to look ahead to the games for Finn Harps, Sligo Rovers and Derry City. And later, Francie Martin will preview the All-Ireland Masters football final for his Donegal side. Well, it is, of course, another busy weekend on the Gaelic Games front, with the club championship fixtures being played across Saturday and Sunday at senior, intermediate and junior level. And we do, of course, have a dedicated GA programme which is available now to listen back to in our playback section of HighlandRadio.com. That is the DL debate presented by Brendan Devaney every Monday night. Just to let you know, our future game this coming Sunday is the preliminary quarter final in the senior championship between Gwydor and McCool's. Throwing us at 4 o'clock, and we'll have full live match commentary from that one on Sunday. And then after the game, we'll also have the quarter final draw for the senior championship live here in Highland. That's for both A and B and senior. Plus, we'll have the semi-final draws for the intermediate and junior championships as well, live on Highland on Sunday evening. Now, moving on to soccer. Finn Harps looks set to consider the option of full or partial private ownership in the coming months. Harps are just one of several clubs who continue to feel the pinch in rising costs, but no increase in revenue. This week, the club have asked football fans in the Northwest and beyond to back their fundraising draw and also get behind the team as they take on Longford Town on Friday night, looking to make it 3 wins in a row and gain further ground in the chase for the playoffs. The bigger picture for the club is a daunting one, and the club are now exploring a model change that will help them survive in an ever-changing league. Well, I spoke with Commercial Officer at Finn Park, Aidan Campbell, this week ahead of tomorrow's game, and the plan to take the private ownership concept to the shareholders and supporters. So, Aidan, Finn Harps are looking into a fixture this coming weekend against Longford. It will be the first of their last 3 home matches of the season. And I suppose going into that game, Aidan, from a club point of view, there's a bit of a good feel after 2 wins on the bounce in recent weeks.
Yeah, anybody who saw the match on Friday, Oisín will have seen how well the team played. We don't have a particularly good record down at Lone, but to score 4 goals down there and to control the game from start to finish. We had a tough summer, if we're being honest. The long travel seemed to catch up with us a bit, but we had a good win here against Cove. I have to say the supporters were fantastic in that match, and if we could get a good atmosphere now for the remaining home 3 games, that would be just, you know, it makes all the difference to the players. I say it all the time. So, good win here against Cove. That set us up. The lads went down with a bit of confidence to Athlone, and everybody was delighted with the performance. So now we're facing Longford on Friday. It's you know, everybody's remarked this one of the toughest first divisions in a lot of years, and I think that can be seen from Longford beating Bray on Friday. So, Bray had been on a fantastic run up to then. So they're a decent outfit. But as I said, hopefully with home support now, we can go in with a bit of confidence. So we hope everybody comes out and gets behind the lads. And, you know, it's 6 games to go, 3 home games, as you say. So it's really, really important now. We can't emphasize how important it is for people to come out and support.
Yeah, because there is, of course, an effect when people are coming through the turnstiles and the big numbers are there. It obviously helps the coffers. You mentioned about it was a difficult summer. It was a difficult summer off the pitch as well, with a lot of games away from home and no, I suppose, big major fixtures at Finn Park. It was sort of difficult all round, so it was, Aidan.
It was, Oisín, you know, to be honest about it. We had the last couple of years, it's unprecedented amount of travel. We just are not budgeted at the moment for overnights. And the problem with overnights is that the players, you know, they have to get up early in the morning time, and then what do they do between then and kickoff? And do you stay 2 nights or what way do you work it? But with obviously increasing costs and accommodation and all that, that's just not something we can do at the moment. So, but the players have been fantastic. I can't speak highly enough of them. To play Cork, for example, they were having breakfast locally at 7 o'clock. Then they were down on the bus facing a professional side and up the road again. And, you know, it's a matter of them, you know, sticking together and, keep believing in what they're doing. And they've done that, you know. Nobody's on big money there. We've got a lot of local lads in the team who are very, very committed. We see the commitment that they put in. And, you know, they are worth supporting. And we've gone with a different model. You know, the year we were relegated, we had a lot of players from outside the county, and we were trying to compete with the increasing amount of clubs now that have private ownership. And it's a difficult thing to do. So we had to really look a bit more long term and get younger players on longer term contracts. And we're seeing the fruition of that gradually. This week, for example, Sean Patton, who was with our academies on loan from Derry with us at the moment, and of course Aaron McLaughlin playing for Ireland under-19s. Our keeper for the last two games, Oisin Cooney, 17-year-old, came up through our academy. And then you've got obviously the likes of Gavin McAteer, Kevin Jordan came through our academy. Kevin did brilliant for us on Friday as well. So it is a bit more of a longer term project, but we believe in it. And you know, we've got guys there like Tony McNamee. Tony's just an exemplary captain, is just tremendous off the pitch as well as on the pitch. So things are a challenge at the moment. It's getting tougher every year with rising costs and trying to compete with privately owned clubs. But so we will have to have a look at this, you know, the actual model of the club in terms of ownership and speak to our shareholders and supporters about that in the coming weeks. But in the meantime, you know, it's about sticking together, and we would love to get into the playoffs. We're just 4 points now behind Bray. And if we keep the form up that we've shown the last two games, there's no reason why we can't be in there.
Yeah, well, but by the sound of things, Aidan, and the way you're talking, that Harps have to reassess basically where the direction they're going to go in the future, because the way the league is changing and the way ownership is changing amongst clubs, is it fair to suggest, by the way you've talked, that if Harps don't do that, survival off the pitch and the club survival is going to come under question?
Well, I think so. I mean, if you look at, you know, the club since, you know, since its beginning and up to the time we became a co-op in 1996, I mean, I was supporting the club. The amount of clubs that went out of business around the league, and it's just a phenomenal story of survival, how the club survived up to that. And then from 1996, of course, we issued the shares, became a co-op, and it was just a fan-owned club that's non-for-profit. Everybody's, you know, volunteers. And again, from then till now, an awful lot of clubs went out of business, and just through sheer really good work, really smart work, we managed to stay in senior football. But what we've seen now in the last 10 years is an unprecedented number of private ownership clubs. You look at the two clubs that finished ahead in the first division, who ran away with it last year, Waterford and Galway. They've taken on backers. Cork City, who ran away with the league this year, their owner has basically said he's put an awful lot of money in last year, and even with that they got relegated, but they're on top this year. So then you have clubs like Treaty, Drogheda United. There's another club about to be announced. So it's you know, Shamrock Rovers, for instance, have a model of 50-50 between fan-owned and private. So it served us well, the fan-owned model, Oisin, and it's got us to this point, and thank God we're still here. But the challenges are getting bigger and bigger every year. There's rising costs. We, of course, don't rent our ground like a lot of clubs do. So the maintenance is an issue as well. And the income streams, you know, we have tremendous support from local sponsors, from our 500 club members, from the season ticket holders, but there's always a gap every year, and it's where do you grow revenue to fill that gap? And other clubs have basically said, look, they needed to consider a different model where either you take on an investment or you do something with your shares. So it's got to be something we look at. And I think we, you know, we will go out and speak about it with our shareholders and supporters in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, you know, to give you an example of the extra costs, apart from obviously the rising costs every business has, in the last couple of years, there's wages now have to be paid through November as well. Now, we don't begrudge players that, but it does mean that we have to go find it by not having any gates coming in. And we have to raise the money between now and then just to make sure that we cover those costs. And then we are prepared to, you know, prepare for next season, all of the pre-season costs, and look at putting a squad together. So, you know, to that end, we need people to really support our draw. We have at the moment and get tickets on FinHarps.ie and come to a match, or any way they can support us. So, you know, it's a thriving club in a lot of ways. Oisin, we have, you know, the women's teams that came on stream, the under 19s and 17s, are getting some great results. I thought would take longer for us really to compete, but they really are surprising us, and they're putting in huge effort. Our young players came back with success from the Galway Cup, two of our teams. Then you have obviously the 17s and 19s, and then we have a full-time community officer or football responsibility officer, Steve McNutt, who's doing fantastic work with a number of organisations around the county. So really is a lot of work going on, and it is a very dear club to a lot of people in the county. So it really is where we take it from here, you know. And of course, it has enormous potential, and we want to look forward to a future where we are in the Premier Division. We are playing Shamrock Rovers and Derry City, and we are competing with those teams. So all those discussions have to be had. But in the meantime, you know, we've got to come out of 2024 in a healthy financial position, and we need people's help with that.
Okay. Has there been any expressions from private owners, from equity groups, of maybe investing in FinHarps in recent times?
We had a couple, Oisin. You know, you have to be very careful. People are aware of the bad stories out there. We spoke to a few people, and we didn't break the shareholders. Oisin didn't. We have a process where we obviously asked for their business plan ahead of terms, and they didn't get to the second base, you know, and we didn't, you know, feel following research that they were the kind of people we're looking for. There's some tentative inquiries now and then, but we haven't really put the message out. I suppose, Oisin, you know, we haven't really come out and said we're prepared to look at some kind of structure where it's either partly fan-owned, partly privately owned, or something like that. But I think we're, in the last couple of years, and looking at our accounts, as our shareholders will know, we're really dependent on people just pulling rabbits out of hats more and more every year. As I said, we have extraordinary support from our 500 club members and supporters and local sponsors. So now it's time perhaps to look at something else, so that we can really offer an environment to, you know, the young talents we have here locally. And, you know, that includes looking at our footballing model as well, because obviously you have, you know, in the Premier Division, they're all professional teams now, and they're doing that because of private investment, or with the help of private investment. So we definitely are open to anybody who wants to talk to us.
And there's a sort of a warning on this as well, Aidan, because it doesn't always work out. I suppose we could use Dundalk this week as a prime example of it.
Yeah, and that's why it's really important to do due diligence from both sides, you know. And you know, when somebody comes in, there's obviously, FinHarps has an ethos. As I said, so many clubs have gone out of business since I've started supporting Oisin. It's incredible. And League of Ireland is a tough gig, because there is no broadcast money, and, you know, your gates cover at Harps over a 10-year period. Our gates cover maybe a quarter of what we spend, you know, and the rest has to be found. So anybody coming in can't have any illusions either. So there's got to be a lot of honesty on both sides. Now, we've spoken to, there's a lot of good people in the League of Ireland, spoke about their processes. And then when we're happy to, you know, if we did speak to people, we would then bring it to our shareholders, who would make the ultimate decision. But, you know, at the moment, we don't have those offers. But we certainly have to discuss, where we're going to go as a club so that it can reach its full potential and we can give the environment, you know, to the players so that they can, they don't have to move to another club, you know, in the country if they want to reach their full potential. So, you know, we're kind of lucky in a lot of ways, Oisin, in that it is a huge name. It is a big brand in Irish football, and Donegal is seen as an attractive place. So we've a lot more going for us than some of the clubs, people would think, that have got private investments. And there is a really energetic volunteer base here as well. Yeah. But as I said, you know, everything we've done so far has served the club, but times change and now we have to look at how we take the club into the future.
Yeah. I think there's a bit of pressure with it, Aidan, because obviously it seems to be that this could be a direction that Harps may be forced to go in, by the sounds of it. Can you take your time with this, or is Harps' financial situation going to allow you time before a proper decision is made on it, Aidan?
I think that if we look at it short term and long term, we need to take our time. I suppose we haven't had an approach or an offer yet. I suppose what we will look to do in the coming months is have that discussion with our shareholders and see what's out there and see who's interested. And then that obviously takes the time as does due diligence. In the short term, we need to increase our revenues. I mean, every week in the newspaper on Facebook, you hear about businesses that are talking about the rising costs. We've been really responsible. We run the off-pitch work is incredible because we run it on a skeleton budget, and none of the directors are paid because that's part of the co-op rules, and we have great people come in and help us with this and that. The first team budget, despite the grueling traveling schedule, our players, our first team budget is very responsible. Darren has come in, and just to offer our condolences to Darren this week on the passing of his father. Darren came in, we were doing well at the break, for example. We would have liked to have been in a position like a lot of clubs were doing, was going to their managers, which is normal during a transfer window. The clubs with private backers could go say, look, is there two or three players out there who would bring us into a very competitive position coming for the run of the season? You know, we weren't quite in that position to do that. And, we're happy to trust the younger players that we're putting in there. But, you know, it wasn't really a choice in the end. So, yeah, we need to, in the short term, Oisin, between now and the end of the season, we need to really get support in terms of just coming to matches, supporting our draw, and join a 500 club any way people can help us out, because the cost base, has increased in terms of operational costs, facility costs, and then the cost of squad because of the extra month you have to pay players up until November, following the rules put in by the FEI and the TFEI last year.
Where are we at with the stadium and all this, Aidan? Because obviously, if Harps are going to consider taking on private ownership or a percentage of private ownership, if the club's going to move forward, where does the stadium come into this? Because the role of the ball of the stadium from all those years ago, we seem to be getting a bit of traction with it. Then there's a hold up. Then there's more traction. Then there's more funding set to be coming. But it never gets to a stage, Aidan, where you're comfortable that this is going to happen, if that's fair to say. So in the bigger picture, with everything moving forward in the future of the club, where's the stadium at?
Well, it's central to what we have to do, Oisin, because we've been told that, Finn Park isn't viable in the long term from a licensing point of view. And, certainly the facilities, whether it's the floodlights, just electrics, plumbing, everything, you could throw good money after bad. And we have to obviously we adhere to a certain standards and safety standards and all the rest. So it is central to what we're doing. It's just been it's been deeply frustrating, Oisin, because obviously stadium, when you're asking families to come out, you're competing with a lot of things. You're competing with everything because during the summer in particular, there's an awful lot of different attractions around. So you want to put on a kind of match night experience. Now, we've done, it's great to see. We have loads of kids coming to our games, which is great to see, and there was a good atmosphere. But we'd like to maximise all the work that's been done out in the community in the last 10 or so years. The kind of blockage of it for different reasons, but a lot of it will obviously come down to money and the rising costs again. Now, it's not something I'm going to go into deep dive because it's something we're going to update in detail in the coming months, but it is absolutely central to everything we're doing. And, you know, if we are looking to grow the club, and if we are looking at the possibility of changing the model and getting the help of private investors, that will obviously be very important too. But it is very much a live project, and there's ongoing talks with the department. And obviously, with rising costs now, we're looking at what is the final spec of the stadium. And because there's so many different partners in it, and the department, the FEI, the Donegal County Council, architects, and the contractor and the subcontractor, it does take an enormous amount of time for things to go back, but we do hope to have news on it soon.
Okay, I know that you have to raise a certain amount of money, Aidan, as well. If you are able to draw down what is coming from the government, and we're speaking here today as well that you're trying to raise money basically to keep the club going and try to put it into healthy state. So you seem to be bombarded by all sides from it, Aidan.
Well, you know, it's never been easy. Actually, like League of Ireland football, you know, it's certainly a learning curve and a shock to the system when you come inside it. I mean, when I was outside, I used to think, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And it's always been a struggle for League of Ireland clubs. And you speak to the other clubs, and it's the exact same issues come up. I know that there was a presentation done by Will Clark from the FEI to the government to say, look, you know, it is worth investment. It is worth putting money into it, because the benefits, not just the sporting benefits, but the community benefits are massive. And we know that, you know, from, you know, everything from wheelchair access to offering people who just want better facilities to come watch a football match, and you can grow a lot of community, and it will help the local economy too. So it does need investment across the board. Oisin, you know, it's the biggest participation sport in the country, but at the top level, the rest of Europe has moved on. And we're looking for, you know, what's the likes of Van Harp, Sligo Rovers, Bohemians. What we're looking for is very small compared to European standards. But it is, you know, it comes down to then volunteers, like our volunteers, to try and deliver what are massive projects to the, you know, to the county in our case. And yeah, it's very challenging.
Okay. There has, of course, been many a challenge for Harps over the 7 decades that the club has been in existence, but there's been some really, really enjoyable times as well. And the club are going to mark the 70th anniversary coming up next month, Aidan. It was announced this week that you'll be holding a gala event, a grand gala dinner, honouring the legacy of loyalty and 70 years of Finn Harps.
Denise O'Neill and Joey O'Leary, who actually served on the board, are organising that with a few others. And it's just going to be a great night. Actually, everything is quite helter-skelter from the inside. So many people have helped the club over the years. And, you know, it's just such a huge achievement. While clubs from big cities have gone to the wall, that Finn Harps is still standing, still proud, you know, despite the financial challenges we just discussed. It's a thriving community full of young people, and that's testament just to the amazing work from lots of salespeople to stewards to program sellers to fans to everything. And I know Denise and Joey just wanted this to recognize all those people and, of course, past players and all that kind of thing as well. So I know they plan on making it a really fun night as well. And so, yeah, that's got to be fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, Aidan, you've got lots to do. So you have off the pitch as you continue to face the challenges that the club are staring at the moment. But we thank you for taking the time out to talk to us and the best of luck in the game against Longford on Friday.
Thanks, Oshie. Just a reminder that people get tickets for the match and tickets for the draw on fintnerf.ie.
That's Aidan Campbell, commercial officer at Finn Park, who I spoke to earlier this week, and certainly a lot of interesting points there and the possibility of changing the model in private ownership at the club. We're going to stay with League of Ireland, and time to look forward now to the fixtures that are taking place this weekend. And to join us on our weekly League of Ireland chat, it's the turn of former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle. How you doing, Declan? Welcome back to the airwaves of Highland.
I'm good, Oisin. I'm good. Good to be back.
So, Declan, I'm sure you heard Aidan Campbell there talking about the possibility of Harps changing their model. Private ownership, it's something they're going to explore and bring to the shareholders and to the supporters. A lot of clubs in that form now. Is it something that you would agree with Harps moving to?
Yeah, listen, it's, you know, the models are out there in regards to, you know, obviously, what we have around the whole league is there's a lot of people that own the clubs and the big benefactors that are pumping a lot of money into the clubs. And it's worked well, and it's become now so professional, and the budgets now are increasing all the time. And, you know, you need a massive budget in order to attract the best players to your club. And that's what's happening around the country, you know. So it's just very, very, very costly for clubs nowadays. And it's very difficult, you know, when you're a cooperative and you're owned by the supporters, you know, and that'll be a big area that they'll need to speak to, obviously, supporters to get their approval. And that, there's a lot of work involved in that because it is a community club, you know. So, but I can understand why the board are looking at this, because it's just so difficult now. And we're up in the northwest of the country, and everything between travel, especially in the first division, is normal, unreal, the traveling costs. So it's become so expensive to run a League of Ireland club. And it's very, very difficult when you're fighting to just keep things above board. And, you know, when you don't have that benefactor pumping in money into it, it can be very, very difficult. I suppose just the one caution I would say on it, you know, we looked at and we've heard all the rumours and what's happened up in Dundalk, and having a benefactor in doesn't naturally make it that it's going to be successful. And if you are going to go down that field, I think it's so, so important that you identify the right person to take over the club, somebody that has a real interest in the club as well. You know, this maybe from Donegal and are willing to pump in money into it. But they're not easy got, but it's a big, big decision for the club to go down. And I presume there'll be a lot of discussion with the board and obviously with all the supporters as well. So it's a big, big move. But I definitely could see reasons why the club are looking at trying to go down this model, because it's just so expensive to run a club.
Well, it's a case of we'll watch the space, Declan, and see where it goes from here. But on the pitch, things are going good. Back-to-back wins for Finn Harps. They're looking to make it 3 on the trot against Longford this coming Friday night in Ballybuffet. Listen, they had a difficult period there for a chunk of about 6 to 7 weeks, but over the last couple of weeks, things have been going good. It's been a good period for Darren Murphy's side.
Yeah, listen, it was a big result, obviously, you know, go down to Athlone and getting a big result and a big scoreline as well, 4-1, you know, so a brilliant performance by the players, you know, to pull out that result. And this is the crucial part of the season, where you need to start pulling out results and getting 3 points. And, you know, the more 3 points, obviously, you can get, you know, we close that gap among the teams that are above us a wee bit, with Bray and Athlone and Wexford and UCD are fighting hard for that position. And we are a few points behind Bray. So there's still a bit more work to do, you know. But, I mean, after the result they had, Athlone seems to have had a wee bit of a wall, and they've lost 4 in a bounce now. So that's an interesting to see how they conduct their business and how their results will be for the last part of the season. But yeah, listen, it's important that the Hearts look after themselves. You know, and I think they've got not an easy match, but they've an easier on paper for sure, playing Longford at home, and that's an opportunity to grab another 3 points and close the gap to Bray, to who are in 44 and Hearts are in 40 points. I mean, close that gap. And then also on Tuesday, Wexford are playing Bray as well. So that's a big result, you know, big sign there in regards to the result. And hopefully maybe whether a draw or Wexford to beat Bray would be a great result for Hearts. Yeah. But listen, a couple of big games coming up, but the key one now obviously is to get 3 points against Longford at home on Friday night.
Yeah, it's a results-based business, so it is, Declan, but at the same time, when you build confidence, the results come, and that's sort of a space that Harps are in at the moment.
Yeah, of course, you know, and it's having a full fit available to, players, to, you know, on, getting your best team on the starting 11 as well is crucial as well. But yeah, listen, absolutely. You know, we know about results and, you know, and you're scoring goals, that breeds confidence, you know. So after result and performance they had, last week, they should be full of confidence going into a difficult match against Longford at home. But if they play to their ability and they put out a really good performance, they should overcome Longford and get 3 points. And that just breeds another confidence onto the rest of the games that's left. As you say, it's going to be tight enough, you know, but it's a good time to hit form. You can hit form, you know, the last 5-6 matches of the season. You know, that's the area where you can close the gaps, and it puts extra pressure on the teams above you, and that's what they don't want, you know, and you want to bring it down to the very, very end and the last two games of the season or something like that, you know. And but listen, it's where you want to be coming into the last part of the season.
Yeah. Would you be confident that Harps can make the playoffs?
If you look at what games they've left, you know, I mean, obviously it's Cork City and Kerry away, so they're two big long trips. You know, Cork, you know, have won the title, as we know, and so, you know, their foot might be taking off the gas a wee bit, and they're obviously looking forward to the celebrations. But, you know, so Kerry as well is definitely a game that they could go down and win, you know. I think they need to win, obviously, Harps home to Wexford, and then their way to Bray, which has probably been a big match. That's second last match, and then they're home to Treaty. So, you know, within those games there left, obviously beating Longford would be a great start. You know, Cork, we were down there twice, and we lost narrowly in the cup as well, in the league match back to back there with 1-0 losses. So we are capable of going down there and producing a big performance and getting something out of that game. You know, even a draw would be a big result down there. Go to Kerry, get 3 points potentially there. The Van Harps Wexford match looks after itself, you know, and you know, big game, obviously, but you're at home and you're hoping you can put a big performance there. So, and the Bray one. So, really, it will probably come down to the Van Harps Wexford and the Bray match away. And then that leaves you the last game, which is home to Treaty, you know. And so, you know, they're big, they're all big games, they're all massive games, they're all cup finals, and they just got to make sure that they're switched on and they have everybody fitting well. You know, they're well capable of squeezing in. And it might take the last game of the season to squeeze into the playoff spot, but they'll take that for sure.
Another big game, Declan, at the weekend is in the Premier Division. Sligo Rovers taking on Shamrock Rovers. The form has been a bit, stuttery of Sligo Rovers of late in the Premier Division and obviously in the Cup as well. But if they go to Dublin and take a result of some sort at the Tala, that would be a big night for Sligo.
Yeah, it will be. I mean, listen, a very positive result against Waterford at home. You know, I was up at it. Really good performance. And they won comfortably 2-0. The game could have been 4-5, to be fair. They played very well in the night. But that was after having a disaster result against Drogheda away, you know, which nobody's seen that result coming. It was a complete freak result. But fair play to Drogheda. You know, they were very good in the night. And Sligo were very poor, obviously, up in Drogheda. But, you know, John Russell and his team, they produced a big result and a big performance against Waterford. So they're coming in there loads of confidence. You know, we know this year Shamrock Rovers haven't been themselves. They haven't been as good as they normally were. You know, obviously, you know, the results kind of paints a picture of their season so far, but they've still got real good quality players, you know, and they're starting to get a few of them back as well. And they're going to be, you know, it's going to be a big match for them and obviously for Sligo Rovers. But there's an opportunity, obviously, to get into the European spots, you know, depending, and we'll chat about the cup matches are obviously next, but Derry and Shelburne, so one of them potentially could go on to win the cup, and that leaves you an extra European space available, you know. So, it's going to be very, very interesting. Both teams are pushing hard, along with Galway and Waterford as well. So, but for Sligo Rovers, I think it'll be a really big performance, and I think get something out of that game. I think a draw would be a big result for them, and, you know, it'll definitely give them confidence going forward.
And finally, Declan, no doubt that the big game of the weekend, it's the top two in the league, but they're meeting in the quarterfinal of the Cup. Derry City against Shelburne on Saturday evening at 5:45 at the Ryan McBride. Brandywell Stadium. There's no doubt that venue is going to be rocking, and this could be one of the games of the season, so it could.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, played each other a lot this season, obviously, with the league, and they're obviously pushing each other hard for the league title as well. And it's very difficult to know who's going to come out on top. Obviously, Shelburne and the league are in a very good and positive position, you know, ahead of Derry City. But this one's obviously a cup match, and, you know, it's important for both teams. Obviously, Shelburne in a cup final before, and they've lost it, and, you know, they're looking to get back there to amend the result. Previously, Derry are obviously looking to get silverware this year, and this is a real opportunity for them to get into a potentially into semi final and then final as well, because, you know, there's not too many big teams left. Drogheda are left, Bowes are left as well, and you know, they're the teams that you probably think that could actually cause real problems. And then you have Derry, obviously, the winners of Derry and Shelburne would fancy their chances going on and winning the cup. So, you know, it's a massive game, massive occasion, big, big crowd, great atmosphere, you know. But both times they played and during the league, there's been very little in it, you know, and teams that normally score first are going on to win the game. And the last game they played, obviously, Derry had a man sent off up in Talca Park, and it kind of fizzled out a wee bit, you know, so as a draw. So this one will be, obviously, there'll be a bit more goals for sure. And it probably has to be finished as well tonight, so yeah, listen, it's a big occasion, and you just don't know how this is going to go. But Derry will fancy their chances at home with the atmosphere and the big crowd as well. And, you know, they'll be doing everything in their power to get to a semi-final of the Cup.
All right then, Declan, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us on the show tonight, and enjoy the football this weekend. Okay, we're going for a commercial break here on the Score programme tonight, and we'll be back with more and Masters Gaelic football after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Gear up for the championship with all your training and matchday essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to the Score programme. It's also a busy weekend on the local soccer front, with area finals taking place in Donegal in the Voodoo Cup, and indeed in the Brian McCormick Cup on Saturday and Sunday. And the first of the series of matches in the league, in the Inishowen Football League, in the Premier Division, Division 1 and Division 2, are taking place this weekend as well. But on our website, on highlandradio.com, there is a preview of the three Brian McCormick Cup finals, which are scheduled for Saturday. Chris Ashmore has been speaking with former Gaedhors Celtic manager and player Hughie Ruaidhre Gallagher to look ahead to those games, and that piece is available now on our website. The final piece on the programme tonight is on the Gaelic Games front, and the Donegal Masters are taking on the London Masters in the All-Ireland Plate Final, which is taking place at Breffni Park in Cavan this coming Saturday the 15th. Throw-in time is at 1:15 as the Masters look to end the season with an All-Ireland title. This week, Jeremy Doherty caught up with the Donegal Masters manager, and that's Francie Martin.
We'd have met up first time, it would be around about February sometime, and, you know, we're going since, like, and we're gathering there every week in Conway, like, and they're travelling from as far apart as Ballyshannon to Mobile, to, you know, that direction. They're scattered from Minishowen the whole way up. We have about a handful from Minishowen, we have one from Ballyshannon, we have boys from Killybegs, you know, we have a big spread of players, and they're making a big commitment to be in Conway every Wednesday night for training, you know, so it's just reward to get to a final, and hopefully we can do the business when we get there, but yeah, we'll see about that on Saturday.
And over the season, you have played against some good teams and some good players, Francie, even at this age level, you know, just the standard is fairly good.
Standard is very good now. Our first game, our first competitive game was against Tyrone. They're in the final against Roscommon on the same day as us, I think. So, like, when you look at Tyrone, they had Stephen O'Neill, and they had Enda Gormley, two all-stars from previous teams. Like, Enda Gormley was playing centre-half back, and Stephen O'Neill was playing up centre-half forward, and they were controlling the whole game. Like, you could see the class of them, you know, and the Tyrone were a strong team. And then we met Derry in the second game, and they had the Bradleys, the two of the Bradley brothers, and they had a couple of more county players like that were coming through along with them. And, you know, you could see the class in them too. Like, they stood out, you know, giving themselves a wee bit of room and their manoeuvres, like, and the other boys played off them, like, and played around them, but they controlled the whole game, basically, you know.
Yeah. And you played London as well, and they're your opponents this weekend. And that game in London, you brought a strong squad with you, Francie, which was great. And that was, by all accounts, a really, really good game, which ended level in the end.
I wasn't in London. My mother was ill at the time. My mother died on the Monday after the boys come back from London. But Eddie was in charge. Eddie and John Joe's over now, and they said London were a good, strong side now. They weren't impressed with the refereeing. Now, I'm not going to go against referees or anything, but they thought the referee was a bit poor. Like, but sure, listen, you'll get that. And at a very level, you know what I mean? Like, But London's a good, strong side. Like, they're backbone by Donegal players too, like the likes of Michael Malloy and David Cannon and Gary O'Kane in the middle of the field there. I think he's captain of the team, like, and a big, strong man, like, and he's a good player, like, you know.
And they've familiar names in that squad as well. Vinnie Murphy, we were looking at the squad there. Vinnie Murphy playing in that team. I mean, he's a veteran of class. And you know, it's interesting for your players to get playing against boys like that, even at this stage. It's really good, isn't it?
It is great, Di. You know, Vinnie Murphy, we don't have to talk much about Vinnie Murphy. Like, he is plenty of All-Ireland medals and everything, like, and he's still playing, and fair dues to him, like, you gotta admire the man, like, you know. And Joe McMahon's in there too, like, he starts corner forward and he roams about the field, like, and he's hard to watch, like, but them boys will be class footballers too, like, and, you know, people will be thinking, oh, London in the final would be simple, but not at this level, because them boys are over there a long time in London, and they're together, and they're working hard together too, like, and you know, they're coming with a good team, like, you know, and you got to admire the class of them couple of fellas you mentioned, and, you know, they're going to take a bit of watching, we'll see on Saturday, we can match them up, like, we've good players coming in this year too, like, say, Eamon Ward at full back, like, was a big bonus to get him in this year, like, he's a great man, marker, like, he can mark anybody, you know, and I would say he'll be able to hold Vinnie Murphy and all that, like, and, you know, we have men throughout the field that can do man-marking jobs, you know, so we'll play it by ear.
The squad that you managed to assemble, because when you started off back in February, you mentioned that Francie, yourself and Eddie Crawford and John Joe looking after things, your first task was to assemble a squad that could compete at this level and getting boys to commit.
The commitment's the one. At this level, a lot of boys would have a needle injuries coming from playing with their club all their lives. Like, and all these fellas would have played against each other basically throughout their careers, you know, and you know, they would know each other well, but they haven't combined together more or less, you know, up until now, like, and when they do combine together, they're very good, like, you know, you have good players that are coming in there that, you know, there would be 40, there's a few there, like, Damien Brown, the likes of Nigel McGonigal, like, they're all good footballers, like, and they're just touching the 40 now, and you know, fellas like that have the edge, like, because they're younger and they're fresher, like, than boys that'll be still there. But having said that, the likes of Jared McBurty there has been there for a long time, and he's still doing the business well, you know. And like the likes of John Joe Shea and Eddie there now, they're two well experienced men. Like, they have a lot of experience of club football. And John Joe, you know, he was manager of the vocational school that won All Ireland, like, you know, and he's, you know, you have to listen very careful when John Joe's talking, because he's that intelligent and he knows the game that well. You know, boys are saying, you know, to themselves, what's that man on about? You know, and they have to listen some of the tactics that he comes out with. You know, they are a class above anybody else. Like, and he studies the game, like, and he knows the game so well. Like, so I was very lucky to get the likes of Eddie Crawford and John Joe, you know, O'Shea on board, like, because It's very hard to get people to commit and manage a team, yeah. like, you know.
Yeah. And for you yourself as well, Francie, it's a new venture this year because, listen, we all know the experience that you have playing at a high level, but also managing at a very, very good level too, at club and at county with various age groups and various teams, but never before at Masters level.
Not at Masters level, no. I haven't managed. Like, what really impressed me about coming in this year was the committee, like the likes of Paul Galler, Sean McDade, Mark Cannon from Balbuffet, Sean McDade from down on his own, like, and you had Paul Galler, like, the three of them put in an enormous amount of work, and Paul and Mark's on the All-Ireland Masters board as well, yeah. like, so they're doing a site of work, like, and they have their own committee now and their own funds, and they work through their own stuff, like, and it's, you know, it's a great thing to have, like, it's a real professional setup, more or less, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's great. It's great. I come in, I was kind of getting out of all club football after last year. I said, I'd done enough. Like, I was enjoying it, but I mean, I just wanted to step away from it, like, yeah. because. And then it was Liam Breen and Val Murray then come at me to do this job for a while to see how I would like it. And I done it. I took it on, like, and I'm here now. So
yeah, because listen, it hasn't been easy, Francie. You mentioned your mammy there. You lost your mammy and your own son Gareth as well. You know, around about this time last year. So you have enough things going on. But then, I suppose the football can give you a wee bit of a lift and take your mind off difficult times.
It does. It gets you out and it gets you about talking, like, and. A very difficult year there this time last year with the son, like, Gareth passing, you know, it was suicide, like, and, you know, it's just, you're trying to reason what went wrong and things like that there, but these fellas, all these fellas that's nearly playing now, they're just gone over 40, like, and Gareth was 44, like, and it kind of dawned on me then, you know, these boys need to get out and have a bit of fun and have a bit of sport, something to play for, like, and get their minds occupied and, you know, things like that there that's going to occupy the mind, like, and get you out and enjoying it. And, you know, I don't know, like, it's a very hard thing to understand what happened, but listen, there are more families than us it happened to, and nobody can understand it, like, and...
Yeah, yeah.
There's no end to it, like, it keeps happening, and, you know, I would find them fellas that come to the football now, they're all, you know, around the same age as Gareth was, like, and yeah. maybe that wee outlet, maybe would have helped him too, like, but exactly. Sure, I mean, listen, that's what they're on the bridge now, yeah. and you have to get on with life, like, it's
well,
tough.
Well, no,
like.
Listen, fair play, Francie, and I mean, we can only admire your strength at such times. This weekend now, you're looking forward to an All-Ireland final, a big, big game for everybody involved, and wouldn't it be nice to go out and come back with a victory?
It would. That'd be great for the fellas involved, to be honest, like, because they put in, as you say, they put in with the travel every Wednesday night, and they put in a big commitment with matches and everything, like, and, you know, it'd be a great reward for them to want to come home with the shield, like, and, you know, to bring in, like, to get another, there'll be medals, like, I'm sure, and, like, to get an All-Ireland medal, you know, it's nothing to be sneezed at, you know, yeah. Every man likes to win medals, like, you know, no matter what age, I know people would be saying, God, it'll take you to 40 to win an All-Ireland, you know.
Well,
listen, you know, that's over 40s now. Every team in Ireland has a team of over 40s now, and they're all in the Masters, like, and London is a team, and I think New York's going to enter a team next year, you know, so,
yeah.
You know, every team's, it's a good thing, it's a great spread, you know, and it's a big thing to win, like, to win an yeah. All-Ireland medal, no matter at what level, like, you know, and
exactly.
It'll really boost the team and boost the boys, anyways, you know, it'll get them on a high, like, in the yeah. way.
Well, listen, well done on a great year so far, Francie, and best luck this weekend.
Thanks very much, Darren.
We wish Francie and the side all the best in that All-Ireland Shield / Plate final, which is taking place this coming Saturday. While Tyrone are also in action, they are taking on Roscommon in the Dr. Mickey Loftus Cup final at the same venue. That's the second game, and Cavanagh starts at 3:15. And that brings an end to the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap on highlandradio.com. Until the next time, from me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Gear up for the championship with all your training and matchday essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.